This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We head up to Vol Country. Eric Ainge, former Tennessee quarterback, the Eric Ainge Show. Joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. We're just talking about the quarterback situation, Eric, and Jeremy Pruitt addressing it to start this week of practice, preparing for Auburn. Jared Gantano was back at practice, but he kind of tipped his hand and said all three of the other quarterbacks getting equal reps kind of left it open-ended. What do you expect as far as the signal caller? Who gets the start in Jordan here on Saturday?
You know, I don't know, guys. Whoever you think gives the Vols the best chance to win, you can't. You know, there's been a lot of talk, people calling in locally, you know, ready to see Harrison Bailey, and I thought he showed some poise when he did get a chance against Arkansas. But this is a winnable football game for Tennessee. It's, I wouldn't say a probable win, but it's a winnable game. It's a 10-point line. You can't just play a guy to play a guy. You got to play at every position, whoever gives you the best chance to win. And I don't know what that is. You know, Jared did a good job coming off the bench last year. Maybe you start Harrison Bailey and you see what he can do. But if he starts playing like a freshman, I mean, you don't just play him the whole game. You got to do what you got to do to try to win.
That off the bench, sort of in relief, is actually not a terrible idea. He did it multiple times and did it well last year. Eric, what do you feel like the temperature is between this coaching staff inside that facility in Knoxville right now?
I mean, I don't think they're worried about their job. Well, maybe the assistants, because that seems to be the way. If things get too bad, you just fire assistants and coordinators, and that seems to work. I don't think Pruitt's that kind of guy. You know, he's a real loyal guy, for the most part. I don't see that being a threat. And I don't think, I mean, short of getting hammered by A&M, Auburn, Florida, and then losing to Vandy, I don't see a path that Pruitt loses his job. So they all should be. And, you know, we haven't had any COVID tests. Not that that means much, but it shows that they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're buying in. They still are. I mean, even our defense held Arkansas scoreless for 45 minutes. They just decided to let them score 24 unanswered in the third quarter. We have to get back to playing 60 minutes of football. If we play 60 minutes of football, it ought to be a good football game.
In regards to the running backs, I know Ty Chandler injured his ankle in the Alabama game, had limited care in the Arkansas game. Good season. What's the current status of the backfield there?
I think they have a guy that they can put there, and what the line gets them and fall forward. You know, that's not an all-SEC back. You know, I think Eric Gray is that. You got to try to find the guys that the linemen know. And Cole, you can attest to this. If they can sit there and say, we can get you four, the back goes and gets you six or eight. That's the kind of guy that's easy to block for. And I think Gray is that guy, but short of Chandler being healthy, I'm not sure we have another one like that.
Talking to former Vol quarterback Eric Ainge, host of the Eric Ainge Show here on Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5 in the Bud Light Seltzer Highline. So, Eric, off the field, we get the story just a couple of weeks ago that the Tennessee Volunteer Assistants, actually it was sooner than that, or more recently than that, I should say, a lot of them refused pay cuts. There's kind of been some fallout, some scuttlebutt about that. A culture situation has been quoted. Just based on what you know, what's going on internally within that coaching staff regarding those pay cuts and not wanting to take them?
Well, I mean, if our offense was looked like Florida's, I don't think anybody would care that Jim Chaney refused a pay cut. You know what I mean? We'd all be saying, pay him more, retain him, don't let him go anywhere else. I think a lot of it is circumstantial with the fact that our football team isn't winning. And when your football team isn't winning, there's always culture problems. To what extent, I don't know. I haven't heard as much as some of the reports that are out there. I think a lot of it's just this is a winning business and a winning game. And when you're not, things are always worse than they are. And when you're winning, they're always better than they really are. And I think the good coaches are the ones that try to keep it somewhere in the middle. I mean, look at what Saban's been able to do at Alabama forever. Winning, I mean, they have a different caliber of winning, Look, I mean, not much further. Look what all Gus has been able to do. I mean, all Gus has done is beat Bama a few times and win 10 to 12 ball games a year on any given year, and he always keeps it kind of level, kind of like he is. So I think this locker room, this organization, the everything about Tennessee right now just has to be, how do we get back to winning? And I mean, gosh, last time Pruitt played in Auburn, he went and he stole a win out. I mean, he's capable. This team is capable. They just have to play a full football game and not complete. I made the joke earlier. We're not shooting ourselves in the foot with a little pistol. We have a sawed off shotgun and we're taking the whole leg off. And we need to stop doing that, man. Just play good football. You don't even have to play crazy good football. Just play good football. If you can catch Auburn on an okay day or a down day, you can beat them. You know, you don't have to be world beaters. You just got to stop beating yourself.
Eric, you mentioned that you think this is a winnable game for Tennessee. What would the recipe be, both offensively and defensively, for Jeremy Pruitt's group, that they would have to go out and execute if they were able to find a way to beat Auburn?
It's winnable because if you do the right things, the ball is still in Auburn's court because Bo Nix is capable of beating you. But you gotta stop him running between the tackles, and you gotta simultaneously find a way to contain and set the edge, because all the stuff that Chad Morris and him and Gus Malzahn have a lot of similarities. That's why I think it should be a good duo. But when Auburn's playing good, they're running the ball between. You can't just sit back and play. Okay, say we're going to play generic organic defense and try to stop all the stuff that Auburn does. You have to commit to stopping the run, and that also means you've got to play well on the edge. However, you're doing that, to stop all the jet sweep and option stuff that they're going to do. If you can do that and force Bo Nix to play a pocket drop back game, it's like, I don't know that we can just go, we can't just go do what Georgia did and say our front four is going to beat you up and we're not going to have to blitz to pressure the quarterback and he's going to be running for his life. We don't possess that. So we have to find a way to set the edge, stop the run up the middle enough, because Chad Morris, if you can stop it enough, a critique I would have of Morris would be that he abandons the run too early. You know, Gus sticks with it a little bit more when he's the one doing it. And Morris, you can get him to say, well, we can't do that anymore, so now what are we going to do? And if you can get him uncomfortable like that, then you got a shot, but you still got to cover the best receiver in the country and hope that Bo Nix has a little bit of a frantic day. He can get like that. If you can get in his face a little bit, he'll go. But then even he can take off and run and move the chains. It's a really hard game to stop, but you got to get him in that drop back game where they're saying, hey, the we've got you. The line's got you, dude. Stay in the pocket, quit running and taking off and, you know, just evacuating the pocket. He does that a little bit. So he can play like a sophomore if you can get to him a little bit. He is still just a sophomore. And he's a great player, but that's really the only path that I see our defense having any kind of success. And then on offense, you got to be able to run the football with, and I've heard you talk about it, Cole, at different times watching you on TV. This line has not done a good enough job. They were supposed to be better than they are. And part of the reason for that is they keep moving guys around and putting guards. We have a whole team full of guards, and we've got to be able to stop Auburn off the edge. And if we can do that, you know, maybe we have some success. Maybe you catch a 50-50 ball or two, run the ball a little bit. It's going to be a tough game.
Eric, in your opinion, has Tennessee, are they making the necessary strides at closing that talent gap with the rest of the SEC?
I don't know how you know, from a recruiting standpoint, yeah, you know, Tennessee recruiting against Auburn this offseason has done very well. Recruiting against Georgia, not as much. But we're getting enough good players that we should be able to compete. But you got to stop you can't say you're closing the gap and then get throttled by Georgia. And this Florida team right now, I think Kyle Trask might be the best player in college football. So you got to do it on the field too. They're doing it recruiting wise, but you got to do it on the field. And this is a great opportunity for them to show that. This weekend.
Former Vol quarterback Eric Ainge joining us here on Three Man Front, host of the Eric Ainge Show there in Knoxville, and he joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. So for folks that don't remember, we'll take them back to 2004. That was your freshman year at Tennessee. You came from Portland, Oregon, or just outside. Just outside of Portland, Oregon. That's where you played your high school ball at Glencoe. But you had offers from Pac-12 schools. And, you know, most of us remember the Phil Fulmer era and how Tennessee was able to recruit nationally. Not just from a recruiting standpoint, Eric, but the culture of the program. What are the noticeable differences for you observing the program now versus when you were there as a player?
Well, you brought up that 04 game. I beat Florida the week before, and I beat the number three Georgia team the week after. But that Auburn game, that was my freshman game. I had five turnovers in that football game. And that was the best, that was the best team that I ever played against, that 04 Auburn team. My gosh, they were just littered with first round draft picks on both sides of the ball. But, you know, I think that the biggest difference is every time we took the field, we were positive we were going to go win the game. And when you're like that playing against other teams like Auburn that are like that, all that does is give you a chance. I'm not positive that Tennessee, when they took the field against Georgia or when they take the field against Florida or Alabama, I'm not positive that every player on that team knows that, that we're about to go win the game. And I feel like Auburn should feel like that. Gus has them like that. There's not a game they should play where they don't feel like they're going to go out there and win. Now, does it always happen? No, of course not. But all it does is give you a chance. We need to get back to the point where we're looking at the schedule preseason and we're going, all right, we're going to win these seven. We should win these right here, and these are our two big ones right here. But even then, by the job of the head coach is to have the whole football team positive that if they go execute the plan, they're going to go win the game. And I don't know that all of our guys feel like that right now, and that's where you have to get to. You got to get back to just being positive that you put the work in. Our coordinator, David Cutcliffe, used to say, true confidence only pure confidence only comes with true preparation. If you're prepared and you're surrounded by a bunch of ballers, why wouldn't you think you're going to go win?
Absolutely. And by the way, Eric, I was not going to bring up the turnovers in the Auburn game. You actually
you
did
totally
that.
You totally were. You got nice at the last second, but you definitely were. I'm not mad about it. It happened.
Hey, Charles Barkley actually predicted the outcome of that game, so you can't feel too bad about that. Eric, man, we appreciate it. Good times, good talk, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right, Eric Ainge, host of the Eric Ainge Show, at Eric Ainge, and the number three there on Twitter. And Eric joined us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Bud Light Seltzer, an easy drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.